Coming next to the stage, Miss Ashley Keenan.
Picked a very funny card, as you can tell. Last year, somewhere in the depths of an oyster gray winter, I realized for the first time in my life that I was terrified of people. At grocery stores, I'd swipe my card and quietly thank the cashier, eyes locked on the speckled white tile floor while gathering my bags. In the elevator at work, I'd hold my breath when others tried to make conversation, knees cringing as I'd attempt to follow along, thinking, just be a normal person, Ashley, come on. Then one day, after taking coffee at my usual place on lunch, I happened to glance over my shoulder before stepping outside. Behind the counter looked a tall, lanky kid, black-brown hair peeking out from under his beanie. His cheeks were flaming red as we made accidental eye contact. I felt like I had been caught, like I had been seen for the first time in months. My guard completely faded as his lips parted, and he gingerly whispered bye, just as I did the same. I hurried away from the coffee shop, feeling dizzy and afraid. Somehow looking into his wet brown eyes, I had come to know him, too much of him, and the idea of interacting again sent a carbonated feeling down my spine. Over the next few weeks, we continued to engage like this. We shared only essential words, please and thank you, and clarification of orders. But somehow, between these words, I felt a magnetic pull, a sense that we had known each other for a very long time. Finally, late one December night, I decided to chase my curiosity. I wanted to see what would happen if I exchanged secrets with a stranger just for a month. I wrote the following letter to Coffee Shop Boy, a.k.a. David. Dear David, you seem interesting. You seem awake, like the type of person who is always observing but rarely speaks up. Someone who has a brilliant story to share but falls silent when another person interrupts. I've been curious. What would happen if, for every stranger we encountered in a day, we got to learn one of their darkest secrets? Would we treat them differently? What would happen if two people who know nothing about one another were to share their thoughts, unfiltered, unkept, thoughts that are too instantaneous for judgment or analysis? Here's my idea. I'll start a game by leaving a note for you today. This note will be gibberish. It'll be whatever purple-green fairy thought I happen to have at the moment. Anyway, if you want to participate, you can leave a note for me tomorrow following in the same vein. It can be a secret, a stream of conscious thought, or first impression. The only two rules are, one, do not edit yourself, and two, don't talk to me until the project is over. Best regards, Ashley, 2:06 a.m. I thought it was very important to timestamp this for some reason. I was like, as if it legitimized the whole project. I was like, oh no, sir, I'm not crazy. It has a timestamp. Anyway, the next day I took lunch as usual, laptop propped open, guarding me from accidental conversation with others. The invitation glared up at me from the table. I still wasn't sure if the project would be a good idea. What if I frightened him? What if he had his boss kick me out, or worse yet, what if he thought I was hitting on him? I'd look like that, like some crazed girl trying to act out a D-list romantic comedy. What happens when sweet, shy Snooki seeks love with her wacky barista, Guy Busey? Watch I Know No Stranger on Lifetime at 8. Just then, David came through the door, snow-dusted and shivering by the counter. My face burned. I ducked my head down when he looked in my direction. My stomach turned acid, and as I shimmied into my coat, I tore a page out of my sketchbook and scratched out the first thought that came to mind, slid it in with my original letter, and handed him the envelope, saying only, "This is weird. This is for you. Sorry if this is weird." His cheeks were blazing as he gently accepted the note. We looked at each other for a moment, said nothing, and I pushed through the door. Walking back to work, my shoulder blades felt like they were made of glass, wind searing my face. I kept thinking of what I had written, how wretched it was to have something so raw, so isolated from context in the palms of a stranger. The words turned in my head again and again like a drunken ballerina. Sometimes I envy women living under burkas. I have nothing to hide, but I want a shield. I tried to figure out what it meant and what he would think it meant, and I wished very badly to have an eraser. The next day, as 1 o'clock grew near, my eyes were dull and hollow, as if my face had been carved in soft stone. Somehow I reached into my anxiety and convinced myself to let curiosity drive. Just go today, get an answer, and then what? If he doesn't want to participate, I can run away, hide from this 4-block radius. I can get a job in another city, another country. I can retell this story to myself enough times that I can invent a new reality. Stepping into the Chicago winter, the wind felt like 1,000 strangers had lined up to slap me in the face. My eyes cinched as the snow cut through the sky. I rounded the corner, opened the door to the cafe, and stood in line, no David in sight. A chirpy young redhead took my order, asking about my day between pouring coffee. I imagined a corporate checkbox hovering above her head. Now offer the pastry. Now thank the guest again. Why was this so much different than interacting with David? At face value, our interactions were identical. Maybe I had misunderstood the whole situation, projecting some sort of vulnerability onto him that wasn't really there. I took a seat in the back in a dark corner, vowing to never come to this place again. Then, just as I settled in, a tall black shadow emerged at the tip of my peripheral. He was lingering close by. My pulse felt like a whip behind my eyelids. I pretended to be laser-focused on writing, but I was sodden with anxiety. It was too much. I scowled as if I was late for a meeting, snatching up my belongings and rushing to the door. I quickly reached for the handle, hood drawn tight around my cheeks, when a pale, slender hand paused on top of my own. David towered in front of me with a worried smile. "I'm sorry," I said, and I turned back toward the door. "No," he replied, reaching into his apron to retrieve a small white envelope. "Don't be." We grinned at each other for a second, and then, without another word, his note glowing in my palm, I stepped back into the swirl of winter, a mosaic of black coats, salt-coated buses, and downward stairs. A city shut down, but still in motion.
Man, Ashley, that was a story. Holy shit, thank you.